We have in our clique building, we are having our Mandarin service there. Now, if you have friends, they only speak Mandarin, you can bring them there first, they can come over here and worship. How awesome is that? God is good, yeah? And for some of you, perhaps you are new here, we want to welcome you. Last week is our first service. You may not you may not have gotten this. It's a fridge magnet, all right, of clique church in the Federation Uni. But in there, what is very important is this. So every time, so you put this on your fridge, and every time you look at it, this is what it says. It says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Every time you see it on your fridge, pray a prayer that God will send workers into his harvest field. Amen. Because we need more people to hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. That's good. Alrighty. Before I start preaching, I just want to do a quick update. So our move here is what I call the Project Jordan. Now, by the grace of God, we praise God. Within a month, when we pull the trigger to come over here, we have raised over 22,000. Now, our target is to raise 42. And today will be the last time you hear me talking about Project Jordan. Because we believe in 2 months' time, the Lord will provide. So if you have not given, please give to the Project Jordan. But you have given, the Lord bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Now, on that note, let's pray. Yeah? Father, we thank you so much for your presence here in this house. We thank you, Lord God, when we worship you and we say, Lord God, that this is our desire to honor you, Lord God. We know, Father, you say in your word, those who draw near to you, you will draw near to us, oh Father. So God, even as we share from your word, we pray for the Spirit of the living God to start speaking to us, oh Father, because we need you more than ever before. We need you, oh Lord God. So come, oh Father. Your servants are listening. Spirit of God, do a deep work in our hearts because we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Alrighty, so today we're going to talk about following your own desires. This has been a 12-week series. Next week, I'll wrap up the entire series. Basically, we start from the book of Joshua, then to Judges, then to Ruth, and now we go to 1 Samuel, but only in the first 7 chapters, and we're going to do a wrap today and next Sunday, which I'll be preaching. Now, if you have been following the series, basically what is happening right now is that there is this story, this big story whereby the people of God, the people of Israel, has to constantly choose whether to follow God or to follow their own ways. Whether they want to follow Jesus or they want to follow the world. And here we have again. Now, as we read in the book of Joshua, book of Joshua is about how Joshua, he had faith. He trusted God. And he goes into this promised land. And he said, God, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Now that is pretty much a conclusion of Joshua. That he's a man of faith. He led a nation to trust the Lord. And today, as a people of God, we want to be like Joshua. And then from Joshua, we then go to the book of Judges. Book of Judges, if you remember, is a time of chaos. It's a time of sin and destruction. And the best way to summarize the book of Judges is right at the end. It basically says, everyone does what is right in their own eyes. It's pretty much the situation in our world today, isn't it? We pretty much do what is right in our own eyes. And today, what we're going to talk about, as we come to 1 Samuel, is the same thing. We're going to do a comparison between the life of Samuel, the prophet Samuel, and the life of Eli's sons. It is the same. The question then is, do we follow Jesus or do we follow the world? Now, on that note, let's read this verse together, all right? At the count of three, and by the way, it's a family church. If your children make noise, that's okay. I've got three children. They make a lot of noise. So that's all good. Alrighty, all right. Are we ready to read? Cool. Is it on? All good? I'll press laptop. There you go. Second week. And we're doing very well here. Awesome. That's good. All right. At the count of three, eh? Then, one, two, three. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah. And the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. We pick it up in chapter 2. This boy, his name is Samuel. Now, if you were here last Sunday, you heard Pastor Ken talk about how this is a miracle child. Elkanah and Hannah. Hannah was barren. She was praying for a child, and God gave Hannah a miracle child, and then she called him Samuel. We have quite a few Samuel in the house. I think we have at least three Samuels in the house. Samuel basically means, because I ask from the Lord. So this boy, immediately we see this contrast. Samuel was ministering before the Lord. And then we have the sons of Eli calling it the worthless man. Now the sons of Eli, one is called Hophni, another one is Phinehas. They are actually a priest in the house. Some translation call them scoundrels. Good for nothing. Worthless man. And here we have two pictures. First picture we see is that Samuel ministers to God. Samuel ministers to God. What does it mean to minister to God? What does it mean to minister to God? Now, before you came this today, a team was here 7 a.m. The setup team. They braced the call. They came here early in the morning. You know what they were doing? They were ministering before the Lord. They must be thinking, Kenny, what are you talking about? You know, we're just basically pushing equipment, sending out drums and all this stuff. Why is that ministering to the Lord? He said, you need to understand, back in those days, when the priests, when they have to minister before the Lord, they have to prepare a lot of things. The golden lampstand, and at the outer courts, guess what they have to do? It's actually pretty gory. They actually have to butcher animals. They have to inspect the animals. All right, imagine, right? People coming to sacrifice their lambs and the little bah, kind of smelly, you know. They have to check those sheep, right, to make sure they are spotless. I mean, it's a rough job. But it's all part of ministering before the Lord. Now, interestingly, the word ministry before the Lord is actually also where we got the word liturgy. Liturgy. It simply means, you can call it order of service, but it simply means the way we approach God as we worship. So today, even as we start singing, even as we start worshiping, it is called ministering before the Lord. I was just thinking, all right, Samuel, that little boy, not the big Samuel right at the back there, but the little Samuel, he was ministering before the Lord. Even as Louis is worship leading, little Samuel, he's singing. He's praising God. He's like, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. And he was there perhaps arranging the table. But in his heart, he's saying, God, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. But this is the thing, all right? We can be religious without pleasing God. Do you know you can partake in all the religious activities, just like Eli's two sons. Eli's two sons, they were born in church. They grew up in church. They did all the things, all the religious activities. But do you know that just by doing religious activities does not mean that we are pleasing God? In fact, there's this really good quote by Jeff. He says, any ministry that is directed towards others without first being directed towards God is idolatry. Before we start serving and busy serving, the first thing that we must do is come before God and to say, God, I worship you. God, I love you. And we come before God, we give our heart to the Lord. Before we start busy serving others' people. However, the Bible says, though Samuel ministers to God, but Eli's sons do not know God. Eli's sons do not know God. Now, if you remember in the book of Judges, from Joshua, It only took one generation. What did Judges say in that generation? They are a generation who do not know God. You can see this cycle, right? Joshua, Judges, and now we come to 1 Samuel. Again, there's these two different pictures. We have one man of God and another one, though Eli's sons, they are priests. Their job is actually to minister to God and to bring people to God. But instead, the Bible called them worthless men, scoundrels, good for nothing. They do not know God. They do not know who is God. So we continue reading. It says, thus, the sin of the young man, so Eli's two sons, was very great in the sight of the Lord. For the man treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. So why, the question there is, why the young man was very, their sin was very great in the sight of the Lord? What did they do for God to pronounce such judgment upon their lives? The background story is this. So as priests, their job is to accept offering. Now in the book of Leviticus, they talk about offering whereby the priests sometimes, not sometimes, they will get a portion. But the way they do it is that they will first have to burn the animal fats unto the Lord. All right, so this is actually a really good diet plan. We have to burn the fats to the Lord first. A lot of people disagree here. It's okay, we live in New Testament now. I know some of you enjoy your fats, yeah? So the Israelites, they're very healthy. They first offer the fats to the Lord. Yeah, they burn it first. So only lean meat, yeah? But here's the thing. Eli's sons, before the servants actually start burning and offering to the Lord, he would tell the servants, don't burn to the Lord. Give it to me. He was basically taking what is belong to God and say, that is mine. That is the reason why the Bible says their sin is great in the sight of God. And then he continued to read, now Eli was very old and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept and lay with the woman who was serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. First, they robbed from God. Secondly, as priests, rather than serving people, rather than ministering to the people, they were harassing the women. Their sin was so great that the Lord rejected them. So here is the thing. Your position in church, my position in church, do not determine our position in Christ. Can I get an amen for that? Now here, I want to bear my heart to you. I want to speak to every single one of us here, especially for those of you who are born in a Christian family, to the young people here. I think a lot of the young people are here, and here, and here, actually young people everywhere. But specifically for those that you are born in a Christian family. Just because your parents are Christians doesn't mean that you are a Christian. That's right. That is Samuel right there. Every single one of us here have to make a decision to follow Jesus. Every one of us here, doesn't matter you're 12 or you're 80, you have to make a decision to follow Jesus. Just because your parents are pastors, or they serve in the church, or they hold a high position in church, it doesn't mean that you do not have to walk with the Lord. And more so, for those that hold a position in the church, for those that hold in high regards, be sure that you spend time with the Lord. Be sure that you worship God. Read the Bible. Read His Word. Take time to worship Him. You know, there is a big difference between going to church and being the church. That's a big difference. And then we move on. We see another contrast here. Samuel hears God's voice. I love this story. this little boy. It says, and now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord. In fact, you see this phrase repeated again and again, at least three times in two chapters alone. Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At the time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. Now the Lamb of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was. He was near the presence of God. And then something beautiful happened. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." Isn't it amazing? Samuel can hear God. And he said, "Here I am." And then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "No, I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." I don't know how God sounds, but I guess that, yep. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, Eli. You called me." But he said, "I did not call. Go back to sleep. Stop disturbing me. I want my sleep." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. In this context, it simply means he hasn't recognized that is the voice of God, though he heard him. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again. "Samuel," the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Have you ever had for those of you that have young children, if you try to sleep, if they keep running to you, what are you going to do? Slightly annoying, isn't it? But there are a lot more loving parents than me. You might just grab them and just make them sleep next to you. But then Eli then perceived that it was the Lord that was calling the boy. It was the Lord that was calling the boy. Now here we have a beautiful story of how Samuel, even as a young boy, he started to be able to listen to the voice of God. Now, in fact, if you keep reading 1 Samuel, if you keep reading, you will realize that it was Samuel who anointed King David. That's why from conquest to kingdom, he anointed King David to usher in the golden era of Israel, the kingdom of God. But he started when he was young. He's listening to God calling him. The question for you and I is this. Do we want to hear the voice of God? Perhaps you may be even asking, can I hear the voice of God? The Bible says, John chapter 10, verse 27, it says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, here's the thing. Jesus says that if you are my sheep, you'll be able to hear my voice. You'll be able to hear my voice, and they follow me. You know, last weekend, last Sunday was our first meeting here. What happens is that we met there at 9:15, right? I remember we were here early in the morning, set up. And then as a team, around 8 a.m., 8:15, we then have to decide whether the crossover is going to happen. Why? Because it was raining. It was raining, right? It was kind of raining. The wind was pretty strong. Nigel, isn't it? The wind was kind of strong. And the entire week was raining. So a couple of us there, and then we are thinking, whether should we cancel the meeting, as in the walkover, or whether we should do it. We then have to discern. We then have to pray. You see, this is the thing, right? You are able to listen to the voice of God whenever you lean in to the Father's heart. In fact, God's heart is to speak to you. Now, if you are a father like myself, I've got three children. I enjoy talking to my children. They may not enjoy talking to me, but that's a separate issue, all right? I realize that that's a spiritual problem there. Our Father in heaven wants to talk to us, but we don't want to listen to our Father in heaven. It's a cycle there, yeah? God wants to talk to us. He speaks to us through His Word, through sermon, through one another. And so we were there. We decided whether we should do it. In the end, we said, you know what? Let's do it. Because even as we recall our journey from where we were to where we are today, there are so many little miracles that happen. And we can hear God speaking to us. And then we say, you know what? Let's take a step of faith. So we say, let's pray. Let's pray. And after praying, we came back here and it started pouring. I'm like, maybe we heard God wrongly. It started pouring. It started raining again. That's around 8:30, right? So at that time, I was like, maybe I heard wrongly again, you know? It's a bit scary. But this is the thing. By the time we hit 9:30, people started coming in. I was so encouraged. People started coming in. And the moment we start walking from our clique building over here, the rain just kind of stopped, isn't it? How good is this? The faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. That's why Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. But Eli's sons are spiritually deaf. Eli's sons are spiritually deaf. Now you heard the story, just now I said. They did wrong in the sight of God. They stole from God. They start messing with people. Messing with women, actually at the tent of the meeting. I mean, that's actually super inappropriate. So Eli heard about it. Eli then told the sons, my sons, it is not good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad, spreading around. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father. But they would not listen to the voice of their father. For it was the will of the Lord to put them to death. Simply meaning to say that they have hardened their hearts so much that God has put in motion, the motion of judgment upon them. It is so important for us to listen to God. The Bible also says, honor your parents. Children, you don't have long life, listen to your parents. Honor your parents. If you can't listen to your own parents, it's actually quite hard to listen to our Father in heaven. Here, Eli's sons, they refuse to listen to the parents. Hence, later on we read, they are actually judged by God. In fact, they die in the battlefield. So what are the different outcomes for both Samuel and Eli's sons? We learn that they are both very different. One choose to follow God. Another choose to follow their own carnal desires. So what kind of outcomes? Now first we learn, Samuel receives favor. Everyone say favor. Samuel receives favor. The Bible says the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. He came to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. Now, who can tell me a similar verse also appear in New Testament? About Jesus. That's right, Jackie. It's Jesus grow in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with the Lord and with people. Samuel, as the prophet of God, points to the high priest of Jesus. Just as Eli has failed as a high priest, Eli has failed to discipline his own children. Eli has failed to maintain order, sacredness, and holiness in the temple of God. But Jesus, the great high priest, one who is sinless and blameless and spotless, is the perfect sacrifice unto the Lord our God. How many can say amen to that? It is because of Christ we can also now receive favor in the eyes of God. That's why he said, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. And I will firmly establish his priestly house, and they will minister before my anointed one always. How do we know that we're walking in God's way? How do we know we are like Samuel? The test is this. It says that I will raise up for myself a faithful priest, one who will do according to what is in my heart, what is in my mind. That's what Jesus says, isn't it? Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says that it's not my will, but yours be done. You know, people of God, we got to pray this prayer more. We got to tell God, Lord, it's not my will, but yours be done. To surrender before God. To say, God, you're all that I need. You're all that I want. I want to do what is in your heart. I want to do what is in your mind. You see, God will never shortchange anyone, for he is no man's debtor. You know, since young, I go to church. Since young. And I remember I was in this church in Malaysia. At the time, my pastor, or he's an elder, he will always tell me this. He said, Kenny, you know, because the time I'll go to church very early as well. I'll start serving the house. He said, Kenny, I want you to know this. God is no man's debtor. When I was young, I actually have no idea what is the meaning of debtor. What is debtor? And he will always tell me, Kenny, God will honor those who honor him. Since young, he will tell me that. You know, I hold on to that. And truly, I can tell now, I have walked with the Lord more than 30 years now. And I can testify that God will never shortchange anyone here. If you put God first, God will honor you. If you put God first, if you serve him, God will honor you. Because the Bible says that God will honor those who honor you. In fact, I think that verse is in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. It says, this is actually part of God's rebuke to Eli. And this is what God said to Eli. Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded for my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel? But for those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me, shall I disdain them. We see Samuel receives favor, but Eli's sons are rejected by God. Just like we have read, that Eli honors his sons more than he honors God. And he lost the very people that he tried to please. Here, there's actually a very powerful application for all Christian parents here. We must fear God more than we fear our own children. You know, sometimes it's very easy for us to give in to our children. And I tell my children this, Sunday is the day of the Lord. No compromise. They can kick, they can scream, they can yell, they can choose not to talk to me for 3 days, which they don't. They don't scream and they don't yell too. But I'm just saying, even if they do that, I also bring them to the house of God. Until they reach the age of 18, okay, that's fine. I probably can't do that anymore. Perhaps it's also illegal in Australia to do that. But as long as you live in this household, we say what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Now, Christian parents, I pray that God will give you the courage, the conviction to say, we're going to raise our children in the ways of the Lord. It is a decision that you must make before God. Sometimes it's so easy for us to give in to our children, isn't it? But no, we fear God. We fear God more than we fear our children. Here are the scriptures that I have read. And then God then pronounced judgment. And this that shall come upon your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, shall be the signs to you, both of them shall die on the same day. The very people that he tried to protect by giving in to them, by turning a blind eye to what they do in the house of God. He should have disciplined them. But no, he didn't. The very people that he tried to protect, he actually did more harm. Another very powerful parenting tip here. When we do not discipline our children, we're actually doing more harm to them. But always discipline out of love. Never discipline out of anger. In fact, when you're angry, try not to discipline your children, all right? So that's very important. The second outcome is that Samuel drives people to God. Samuel drives people to God. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel. So this is within the context whereby the Israel, they have lost the battle. In fact, they lost the Ark of the Covenant. This is a time whereby the judgment is upon the people of God. Just like in the book of Judges, they sin against God. Sin, chaos, and destruction came upon the house because under the leadership of Eli, the people of God no longer know God. And then they lost a battle and they lost the ark. And then Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, everyone say all your heart, with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherah from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve Him only. Serve Him only. Then He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Samuel drives people to God, but Eli's sons drives people away from God by their sinful actions. Today, the Lord is asking us to be like Samuel, to be like Christ to the people around us. And that when people see our lives, we should always point them to Jesus. Not that when people see our lives, it's like, that is not a person I would like to be. But instead, it's someone that says, you know what? I want to be like this man or this woman because from his life, there is fragrance of Christ. If I can just invite the worship team up. Yeah. You see, Eli's sons lost the Ark of God. He says, so the Philistines fought and Israel was defeated and they fled, every man to his home, and there was a very great slaughter for 30,000 foot soldiers of Israel fell. Now, with the Ark of God was captured and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Finally, the judgment of God is upon this household. So the question then is this, that all of us have to answer today, from the youngest to the oldest, is that who do you want to follow today? Samuel or Eli's sons? Who do you want to follow? The example of Joshua, a lad that is full of faith, or the examples in the Judges, whereby they do not know the Lord, they just do things that is right in their own eyes. Last but not least, who do you want to follow today? You want to follow Jesus, or do you want to follow the world? You know, Jesus, in the New Testament, in Gospel, many times He said, follow Me. The greatest call in your life today, whether you know the Lord or whether you do not know the Lord, or perhaps today you feel that you're far away from God, the greatest call that you can have today is Jesus saying, come, follow Me. And then He says, follow Me, I'll make you fishers of men. The last Sunday, this place was packed because it was a combined service with Mandarin service, yeah? And the reason why we moved here, why? Is because we have outgrown our old building and then we have come to a place whereby we want to see more people coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the Bible promises this. It says that if you follow Me, I will make you fishers of men. The Bible also says that if you follow Me, I will give you life and life to the abundant. The Bible also says that if you follow Me, that you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. If you can, just close your eyes right now. Yeah. We come to a time whereby the Spirit of God is asking every one of us this question. Who do you want to follow? Young people, who do you want to follow? Do you just want to follow the ways of the world? Do you just want to follow your friends? Who do you want to follow today? To the not so young people, it's the same question. Who do you want to follow today? As your eyes remain closed, the worship team is going to sing this song. And I pray that you'll be ministered by this song. Take this time and to say and to tell God, God, I want to follow you today. Because you're all that I want. You're all that I need, God. Thank you, Jesus.
This is my